let's talk about, you met your husband, and again, his name was Robert Pullen. And where did you meet?
A patient introduced me to him in Denver.
He was a soldier?
He had gone to be a pilot, and he was colorblind, agreed in gray. So they sent him to Denver to learn about the bomb site on B-17.
And that's how you met?
Uh-huh. One of his kinfolk. I'd known her before. She had written to me and said, could her kinfolks call me? She had two kinfolks in Denver that didn't know anybody. So that's how I met him.
When were you married?
In 1945.
He then was from here in Tahlequah.
He was in Tahlequah.
Your Oklahoma story begins then. What did Robert do?
The Pullens always had their own business, and at that time they had a home and auto store, Otasco, Oklahoma Tire and Supply.
Did they own a franchise?
Yes.
How many children did you have?
Two.
And their names?
Robert Christopher and Bruce Edward.
So that was your main income then, from Otasco, for a long time?
Well, it was, yes. I did some nursing, kind of like reserve-type nursing. Sometimes at the old Indian hospital, sometimes at the city hospital.
Let's talk about Tahlequah back then, in 1945 and up to 1950.
Well, when we came to town, they said there are absolutely no places for you to get a house. You can't have a house of your own. But my husband found us a little house that we were real proud to have for a short time when they had to have it back.
You had the house for a short time and then had to give it up?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, the owners had sold their house and they had to go live in it themselves.
Okay.
And then we got a garage apartment, and we were real happy to get that, too. Then we went house hunting.
The businesses, you remember the names of businesses here in Tahlequah at that time? Yeah. Grocery stores or restaurants?
Well, they had a lot of, well, they call them mom and pops now, I never did, but Mr. and Mrs. Bodie and Mr. and Mrs. Doss and Mr. and Mrs. Everett Pullen and all like this downtown.
Racially, then, right now today, this is the headquarters for the Cherokee Nation, Tahlequah is. But were there African Americans living here?
Yes, yeah, some of this was my first experience. We didn't know any in South Dakota, so it was different. Also in the Navy, too, people commented on my lack of discrimination. But right now, two of my friends have bought the old Antioch Methodist Church. They've just bought it. It's from 1877. It had some really good people in it, and they've moved into a new facility, and it was vacant, so they're going to do something to preserve it.
Good. But there wasn't any racial unrest or strife back then in the 40s and 50s?
Those that I knew were just really good people. They had three great big sons and had a little mama, and then she told them all what to do, and they did it. They were really very well loved, is
yeah.
what they were.
Of course, Oklahoma was very much a segregationist state.
Yes.
And in many areas, blacks could not use drinking fountains or restrooms or restaurants. Did that happen here in Tahlequah?
Yes, it did. One of my younger friends had a job taking tickets at a theater, and they wouldn't let them in. The group came in, she sold them all tickets, and they said that this one would have to go out. And she said, they also will all leave then.
So did they leave? Because she wouldn't sell a ticket to a...
Oh, she would, but the management wouldn't. She just did it already. She didn't, but the management wouldn't.
So the group, did they leave or did they stay?
They left. She said, I've never been able to forget having to do that, give them their money back.
Because of a girl that was African-American.
Mm-hmm. We didn't even use political language when we grew up. You didn't either, I don't
Well, back then, I suppose it was Negro, that word. Is that the way you referred to them?
I don't think we knew much about it at all.
There was no point in saying black, yellow, red, or white.
We didn't know any.
You didn't have a name.
There was one in Rapid City who worked at the barbershop, and we just didn't know anything about it. But one of them was named Lucian Maxey. He delivered for the trucking company. And I told my son that Lucian had died, and he said, why don't you tell me so I can come to his service? I said, I'll show you where he's buried, in the black cemetery out east by the hospital. He said, well, why isn't he over there with the rest of us? And I said, he probably wants to be with his people. They had to be buried in another place. Mm-hmm. They weren't welcome at the library.
That must have bothered you, coming from up north and not feeling...
Well, my cousin Helen was the same. She didn't know any more about it than I did.
Mm-hmm. So that had to be kind of a shock for you to come here and see the way blacks were treated.
We just couldn't understand it. Of course, we were raised on Uncle Tom's Cabin. Did they read Uncle Tom's Cabin to you?
No.
They did to us.
The Native Americans, were they treated any differently?
Ross Swimmer was chief of the Cherokees, and we went to the same church, he and his wife Margaret and their little boys. And she said, we're trying to teach them they can keep their culture without poverty. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be poor to keep your culture, but it's just taken a while. But they had leaders that tried to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Grayson was the deputy chief, and he's a friend of my son's from first grade. They were Vietnam vets and they're best friends, but they were having more of a hard time than I realized.
Wilma Mankiller, does that name mean much to you?
Yes, she was really easy to talk to. I was, for a while, archivist at our church. Our priest brought me a phone number from the Smithsonian. They wanted me to call. They were doing stories about women in clergy. There was a Cherokee woman from Muskogee who was coming over here to do a service, and the children were going to sing. The Smithsonian kept calling because they didn't know about this culture, and they would say, what are they doing in this picture? I finally told them, the photographer is a good friend of mine, and I asked him, and he sent me really nice pictures, and I'll identify them and send them to you. Wilma Mankiller was at home, so I called her. She was all right with it, so I called the Smithsonian and said, she's at home and she'll talk to you. That is the best connection you can make, just directly to the chief. And she never lost that quality.
First female chief of any nation.
There's a new book I just bought this week about the baskets that they made, and it contains more history than I realize. They'd sell a nice basket for 10 cents, and maybe they can make $40 in a year.
Hmm. The Native Americans were doing that, making baskets.
Mm-hmm. But they came to be appreciated after a while.
Yeah.
But when I worked in the Indian hospital, it was quite different then.
How was that?
They could come in and stay as long as they needed to. They didn't have to be hurried out. The women were very sweet, gentle people.